Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents The Empyrean, Book 2, Iron Flame, Part 2 of 2, by Rebecca Yarros, narrated by Kaya Freitz and Gabriel Michael, with a full cast.
Half palace, half barracks, but entirely a fortress. Ryerson House has never been breached by an army. It survived countless sieges and 3 full-out assaults before falling under the flame of the very dragons it existed to serve. On Tirish History, a complete accounting, 3rd edition, by Captain Fitzgibbons.
Bold choice to move so far from what you perceive as the safety of the wards.
The sage holds me immobile, my feet just inches from the frozen ground of my own personal torture chamber. I'm trapped in this fucking nightmare again. But at least I made it farther across the sunburned field this time.
Of course, again, you will never be free of me. I will hunt you to the ends of the continent and beyond.
Throat working, I struggle to relax, to calm my heart, and change my breathing in hopes of waking myself up. But it's only my mind that knows this isn't real. My body is very much locked into the illusion.
You can only hunt me to the wards.
Yet you sleep beyond them. And the longest night has yet to pass.
A grotesque smile tilts his cracked mouth. He reaches for a poison-tipped dagger. I blink, my heart slamming against my ribs for the second it takes for me to shed the vivid nightmare and recognize my surroundings. This isn't a wind-torn field or a cold, blood-soaked cell in Besgaeth. It's Zayden's light-filled bedroom in Arisha. Big windows, thick velvet drapes, wall-to-wall bookshelves, massive bed. I'm safe. Varish isn't waiting on the other side of the door to break me again, because he's dead. I killed him. I'm still alive. For the first time in days, there's no pain when I breathe in, or when I stretch under the thick down comforter, or even when I twist away from the sun-drenched window to face Zayden. Now, this is a view I could be more than happy to wake up to for the rest of my life. He's asleep on his stomach, his arms folded under his pillow, his hair falling over his forehead, his perfectly sculpted lips parted slightly. The covers only rise to the small of his back, leaving me with miles of inked skin to admire. I almost never get to see him like this, never get to simply look at him. And I take advantage of every single second, studying the angles of his muscled arm, up to his rounded shoulder, and across the faint silver of the lines that mark his back. He's always more than enough to elevate my pulse. But asleep and fully unguarded, he steals my breath. Gods, is he beautiful. And he loves me. The black fabric of my thin, strapped nightgown bunches slightly as I shift up onto my knees, and the comforter falls away when I reach for him. I trace the silver scars with my fingertips and don't bother counting the lines. There are 107 of them, representative of the marked ones he took responsibility for to give them a chance at life in the quadrant. For all that he says he isn't soft, it's kind. He's also the only man I know whose back is covered in promises made for other people. He risked his life to free me. Dane and I never would have made it out of there alive without him. Alive. I'm alive. And that's exactly how I want to feel. I lean forward and press my lips to his warm skin. Kissing the scar closest to me, wishing I could undo the damage my mother did to him.
Violet.
His sleep rough voice makes my lips curve and my blood heat. His muscles ripple as he stirs awake. And I take my time.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?